Marvel.
Jasmine.
Hey, Jasmine.
How you doing?
Good. Doing good, and yourself?
Good, good. Hot summer.
Hot summer.
Hannah. Hi, Hannah.
Hey, Hannah.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoach. Anna Bakoach, Gedulat Yemincha, Tatir. Aleph Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Chabel Rinat Amcha Sadvenu Tacharenu Nora. Tufrei Shayim Sintet Nun. Na Gibor Dorshei Yehudcha. Kivavat Shamrein Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchen Tacharem Rachamei Sitkatcha Tamid Damrein Betet Reish Tzaditav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tucha Na'el Adatecha Hetkufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Penei Zohrei Kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayim Kuf Shavateinu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodeya Ta'alumot Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. And we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rachum Vechanun. Erech Apayim. Verav Chesed Ve'emet. Notzer Chesed La'alabim. Nosayon wafesha v'chata'ah v'nakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. And I will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Erhinu Hilu Hilu Erhinu Le'akta L'shem Yud He Bavav He Be'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Rasok Torah Mitzvah Vayino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bika Amatar Tanei Nam Dekudsha Berichu Koma Deaved Leila Wittata Kola ihu kishot biovada dikshot beleid lach mila bialma divae barnash ledach yalea minea ulam haga beya kalana dehakulu ovada dikshot inun Wikola it's the reef be alma. We're now going to connect to the energy of this current year, 5778, which is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. There are two verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. One is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon vayichal vayavo Hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon El Hamelech tavo natamar achoti Udlabev le'ene shite levivot v'yere mi'ada. The second verse is from Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. Chatati odiacha waloni lo kisiti amarti ode ale peshai ladonai oe wahe weata nasata awon chatati sela. The year 5777, known as the year of the goats, because the energy is that of the goat, also has two verses that connect to this energy. The first verse that we read and study for that is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Sod saduni katsipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create satskiyah, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, they become dir yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by 7 letters each. Ki im ba Adonai yo he wa he Elohechem tadebaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has 2 verses that connect to that energy. The first verse we read is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Racha kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha'olot Vayehaskum Achechem Halevim Ad Kelot Hamlacha Yad Yitkachu Hakohanim Ki Halevim Yishrei Levav. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe Lalahe Wawawa Yola Yo Alame Hey 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 Aka Rekaha. The second verse connecting to the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bihu Ba Adonai Yohe Wahe Ade Ad. Ki biyayo he Adonai yo he wahe Tzur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are 3 verses that connect to this energy. The first that we read is Job chapter 7, verse 19. When I say read, I also mean study. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next, we study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavo iyam asher yitchabe sham washavtem elai el nachon. V'halakti ichem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yoved ro'al yom ru'ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy, and that's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. We will study it now. Wasamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shakam. Tachta v'lo yirgaz, od v'lo yosifu, v'nei abla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God, and we do this by saying the letters of each name with their root vowel in sequence. Waiting for my computer, which is running slow. Why, sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka aka heda hezayo alada la awa he hea yozala mebe he reyo he kome la awa kalayo la wawa pe he la nula ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa nuta he mehe a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ha wa ko me nu da a nu yo he he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo me yo ha wa wa la yo la he da a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he. Me be he pe wa yo, nu me me yo yo la. He re he me ta re, wa me be yo he he. A nu wa a me he yo, da me be me nu ko. A yo a he be wa, re a he yo be me. He yo yo, me wa me. We'll now connect to the 72 names of the Tzaddikim in the same manner. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a. Yo tsa la me re he, he yo yo he me me, la wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he 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 wa, nu yo he he shi ya, yo re ta shi ya he, re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ka ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la a re yo a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he o shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo nu ko me yo re la e be he me za re wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 13th day of Adar, first off, I'm reminding you that tomorrow morning we have a sunrise and sunset fast called the Fast of Esther. And the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 13th day of Adar. Rabbi Ze'ev Wolf of Zitomer Rabbi Shimon Schwab, Rabbi Menashe Frankel of Lizink, and Rabbi Yaakov Asher Kof. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class does not have a handout. Today's class is a continuation of what we discussed, we're teaching last night. We're going to pick up where we left off. The discussion is an English translation of the writings of the Ari about the holiday of Purim. And to give you a very short version of what was taught last night, Purim is a holiday that manifests the unity of Zeranpin and Malchut, similar to Adam and Chava, when they were first created back to back. During the time of Purim, the energy was such that it was opportune for Malchut to move and return to a face-to-face connection between herself and Zeranpin. And in essence, that is manifesting a face-to-face connection between the children of Israel and Hashem. This is what is being discussed by the Ari. And he discusses the idea of Dormita, where Adam is put to sleep in order for Malchut to receive the sufficient energy that she can transform herself from back to back to face to face. And we are starting with this discussion from the Shahar HaKavanot, which is one of the books that the Ari wrote, actually Chaim Vital wrote it, from his teachings of the Ari. And we are identifying in our study when the source material is coming from Sha'ar HaKavanot, or it's coming from another book called Pri Etz Chaim. Sha'ar HaKavanot. Now, even during the time of the Dormita, the trance of sleep, for Zeranpin, the Nok, the Malchut, Partsuf, the face of Malchut, the ten Sefirot of Malchut, remains awake. For due to his sleep, Zeranpin's, the Mohin are withdrawn from Zeranpin, and they enter into the Nok in order that her Sephirotic face can be built up and rectified so that she will be able to turn face to face with Zeranpin. Though providence from heaven seems to have disappeared, the Jewish people in the physical world have the added strength and ability to act and make the necessary difference in deciding our own destiny. What that is saying, what this pasuk is saying, that while Zeranpin is asleep, his brains, meaning his upper three sephirot, flow down. They drop. And they drop into the partsuf of of note, which is Malchut in a full structure of 10 Sephirot. That additional energy is what gives Malchut the opportunity, the strength, to change from a back-to-back configuration to a face-to-face configuration with Zeranpin. But he is asleep. So he doesn't know this is happening until he awakes. And when he awakes, he is awaking to the unity face-to-face of Zeranpin and Malchut. And that energy that activated Malchut is now unified again with him, so it has returned to him. And this is the meaning of what the Ari says, deciding our own destiny. Pasuk 24. By receiving the Mochin, the power of Zeranpin, Rachel, the collective Israel, has the power to do great things. In the merit of these great things, she rectifies the sins of the Jewish people, and thus enables the Jewish people to gain merit, direct divine intervention in human history. The trance of sleep, the dormita, which is the removal of direct divine intervention, biblical-style miracles, the 10 plagues, Joseph being elevated to the second of command in Egypt, and many, the redemption itself, these biblical miracles. We normally, in our lifetimes, don't see this. But if we are supporting Malchut in elevating her to Zeranpin, that unification allows the biblical-style miracles to manifest. So this divine intervention is for the good of Israel. For now we have to act based on our own knowledge of Torah. This brings us great merit in the eyes of Hashem and brings Zeranpin to awakening. He rises up to protect and defend the honor of his bride, the Noach, which is Rachel. Collective Israel, the Jewish people, we're continuing with the reading of Sha'ar HaKavanot. Now it is most certain that there is radiance and protection over Israel at this time. When Haman saw Mordechai, by whose hand this radiance and protection surrounded Israel at that time, the time of Purim, he, Haman, counseled with his wife Zeresh. This is the secret of the reference in the book of Esther to Haman's counselors. For our sages have taught that Zeresh, Haman's wife, was a master sorceress, and her counsel was equal to that of his 365 advisors. This is an unwritten commentary. Elsewhere, I have learned that the word Ahasuerosh and Haman represents two levels of klipot that attempt to block the Jewish people from achieving their goals of completing their tikkun. This discussion, just in this pasuk, about Zeresh, she is also one of the klipot. And this code word of 365 advisors represents the 365 individual chief angels that have responsibility, one each day of the year, to cause the children of Israel to violate a negative precept. And if someone does violate a negative precept on that day, that particular precept that is part of the day, that angel is receiving the energy that the Israel was supposed to receive. And this is all part of why each element of Israel, each person of Israel, is responsible for every other element. I hope I'm being clear. Pasuk 25. Nowhere is it implied that Haman consciously knew of Mordechai's protective powers, but unconsciously Haman felt Mordechai's power, and it drove him mad. When Mordechai refused to bow to Haman, Haman knew within himself that this way no ordinary person but his archenemy. Remember, Haman was a bloodline Amalekite, the sworn enemies of Hashem, and by extension of the Jews. Even without knowing that Mordechai was a Jew, Haman instinctively hated him. So it is with all anti-Semites. They hate Jews without even knowing why. They can't help themselves. It is their unclean nature. It is for this reason that Hashem has promised that he himself will wipe out Amalek, the anti-Semites, from the earth. This gets to be very confusing when we start to understand that the anti-Semites only have permission to create chaos against Jews when Jews are not doing their job. They're not doing their spiritual work. The 26th pasuk. What a team! Both Haman and Zeresh were servants of darkness under the guise of being caring public servants. So much like today, Zeresh also knew of the times, and she was an expert in black magic, so as to help Haman achieve success in his evil plot. Yet even Zeresh, when informed that Mordechai was a Jew, advised Haman not to go against him. For Zeresh knew the power of black magic is ineffectual against the righteous Jew who observes the mitzvot. They altogether counseled Haman to kill Mordechai and hang his body from a tree. If Hashem forbid they had succeeded, then the enemies of Israel would have been able to finish them off. What Zeresh was saying to Haman, she was preaching to the crier, he already knew that's what he wanted to do. was kill Mordechai, then we can kill the Jews. But without you killing Mordechai, nothing can happen to the Jews. This is the premise of the scroll of Esther, the story unfolding. But it also applies to us in our lives. You can walk into a party and you see somebody across the room and you immediately like them. You never met them. You've never said a word to them. They've never said a word to you. But you look and you say, I like this person. Now, I'm not talking about the attractiveness that you feel lust for a person, but you just feel comfortable with that person. And people will come to their friends after the party and say, I met my soulmate. We were so compatible. The same token, you can walk into a party, look across the room, and just feel cold, have a chill. You don't want to be with that in that party with the same person in that room. Where is this coming from? This is coming from your soul level. This is coming from your unconscious, who knows the truth about, wait a second, that person across the room has captured one of my soul components, and he's not giving it back to me, and I need it back. But that struggle will take place, not in the party necessarily, but it will take place in the relationship of the two of you. And when that soul part is returned to you, all of that animosity will disappear. By the same token, the person that you really like, their soul part is coming from the same part of the body and soul of Adam. So maybe you're both coming from the heart, or the brain, or the voice box, or the left finger, the left hand, the pinky. You're coming from the same part of Adam. And therefore you have this affinity. You have the same corrections, except you're not soulmates. And you need to do work with other people, not people that you have all this affinity with. And so the people who get married to their quote-unquote soulmate because they have so much in common are not doing any work. And it's a lifetime that needs to be lived over again. God forbid. Pasuk 27. Then Hashem, in his mercy, radiated the light of the supernal note. And 28, this became manifest in the elevation of Mordechai and Esther, and by their hand was Israel saved from that great trouble. Mordechai embodied Rachel, the 10 Sephirot of Malchut. If he, as the head of the people, was harmed, God forbid, the people would have been psychically open to attack. 28. This happened with the only supernatural event in the entire book of Esther. On that night, the king could not sleep. It's in chapter 6 of the scroll. The Arizal teaches us that not only does this verse speak of King Ahasuerus, but it also notes the awakening of the heavenly king, Zeranpin. Ahasuerus's insomnia has a spiritual counterpart, the results of which were soon clearly evident. Mordecai's deeds were remembered, and his elevation to a position of honor and authority had begun. Coincidentally, and you know I don't mean coincidentally, our class on Noah this evening was dealing with remembrance. We've been studying this same section 29 of Noah that deals with remembrance for the last 3-4 days. So if you would like, it would be a good additional study to listen to those recordings, and they are available on the Hashem website. In the matrix, the Revealed Wisdom matrix, in the last row, the third column from the left. We are continuing to study the Shari HaKavanot. Now, this is the matter of Mordecai and his radiance. During the time of the trance of sleep of Zeranpin, not only do the mohim from the Netzach Hod and Yesod of Ima leave Zeranpin and enter into the Noach, into Rachel, even the mohim of the Netzach Hod Yesod of Abba enters her. In order to understand from where Mordecai receives the spiritual power enabling him to change the course of human events, we must understand the source of his soul. For only a soul from the proper source can do the proper action. Hashem secretly brings all things into play, each in their right time and place. And as we have been teaching you repetitively, and we will continue to teach you repetitively, it must be a right action at the right time, at the right place, with the right consciousness. And now we are learning that it has to be the right soul. Just because you have the thought to save the Jewish people doesn't mean that your soul comes from the right source. You picked up that thought. Remember, there's two radio stations metaphorically in the universe. One is broadcasting thoughts from Hashem, and one is broadcasting thoughts from Satan. And you pick up a thought, how do you know it's your thought, that it's meant for your soul? It could be meant for another soul. It could be meant for all the souls from the same part of Adam as you. It could be directed distinctly to you, or to a group, to a community. Without your connection to your intuition, you have no way of knowing what is the purpose of this thought. Pasuk 30. The Mohin of Abba are the Netzach Hod Yesod of Hakma. Chachma is that intuitive aspect of human consciousness that exists in the unconscious, in the right lobe of the brain. As such, any expression of Chachma will be intuitive, super rational thinking. This is what Mordechai and Esther did. By planning to see King Ahasuerus in a way which was very dangerous and thus only rational within the context of their extreme circumstances. Mordechai would not have conceived of this unless the Mohin of Abba had already become manifest in Rachel, meaning him. I also need to make a comment. Super rational thinking, according to Rabbi Bar Sadok, he uses this idea. He uses this because people relate to logic, to rationality. The Western world relates to rationality. The Western world thinks rational, logical thought is supreme and more advantageous than the emotions. But elsewhere, the Zohar is explaining that above logic and rational thought, there is this concept of emotions that are under control. In our world, in ourselves, our emotions are rarely under control. That's what binding by striking is attempting to do. Control the emotions. Not allow them to be in control and allow us to become reactive. But once the emotions are controlled, these corrected emotions elevate above the rational thought. So now we are reading from the Pri Etz Chaim. Now these two lights radiate exclusively from Rachel. Do you know what are the two lights? However, now there is a completely new aspect which did not exist previously when the Malkin were in Zeranpin, as has already been explained elsewhere. When the Mohin enter into Zeranpin, the Yesod of Abba extends downwards, yet is completely concealed within the Yesod of Zeranpin, surrounded by it. However, now that the Mohin are in Rachel, her Yesod, being feminine, is shorter. It does not extend out and expand like the Yesod of the male. This whole section has really not yet been explained. And to explain it would be very time consuming. But succinctly, it's describing in a metaphorical sense how the Ten Sefirot in Chachma is inside like a tube the Ten Sefirot in Bina. And that is a tube that is inside the Ten Sefirot of Zeranpin. And that is a tube that's inside the Ten Sefirot of Malchut. And as the energies of the universe go through their cycle, without describing those cycles, but their astrological cycles are ways of understanding what influences these metaphorical sephirot. As these sephirot are influenced by the astrology, they move against each other. Those metaphors of those four tubes, they move against each other. One goes up, one goes down. Both goes up. All of these different combinations are available. And what we're being taught here is that Netzach, Hod, and Yesod of Chachma has gone down into Zeranpin, but into the Yesod of Zeranpin, waiting to go into the Nukva. But the male is taller than the female. Have you ever asked why men are taller than women? Many different reasons, and I'm not going to go into it. But in essence, what we're being told in this section is the Yesod, the female aspect of Yesod, is shorter, meaning the male, which is inside of the female, is uncovered, because the female cannot cover all of it until it grows back to the level of the moon growing to the sun in the end of days. And I hope that didn't confuse you. The Mochin of Ima and the Mochin of Abba. The Sefirah Yesod manifests in the genitals in the human being. The sex organ, the Yesod of the male, is external. It's active and it's giving or sharing. The sex organ, Yesod of the female, is internal. It's passive and receiving. So when the male organ, Yesod of Abba, radiates within Zeranpin, Zeranpin, like Abba, being male, completely conceals the male Yesod. However, when the male organ, the Yesod of Abba, radiates within the Noch, her organ, Yesod, being feminine, cannot conceal the male organ. Therefore, due to its size, because it's larger, taller, longer, the Yesod of Abba, along with the Yesod of Ima, radiate within the Noch. Yet the Yesod of Abba is too large to be concealed within the Yesod of the Noch. And thus the Malchut aspect of the Yesod of Abba protrudes. We thus find that when the Netzachot Yesod of Abba enters into her, meaning Malchut, from above, the Yesod of Abba is not completely concealed, but rather protrudes. I lost my place. So the Yesod aspect of Abba protrudes. We thus find that when the Netzachot Yesod of Abba enters into her from above, the Yesod of Abba is not completely concealed, but rather protrudes from her Yesod. The Yesod of Abba is not completely concealed within the Yesod of Rachel. It is completely revealed below, and this aspect is not to be found in Zeranpin at any time. For his yesod is long and capable of concealing all of the yesod of Abba. Now this aspect of the yesod of Abba that is revealed and exposed outside of the yesod of Rachel is a great radiating light. For this is the revelation of the yesod of Abba, who usually is secret and concealed from all. All of Abba, the realm of Atzilut, is concealed. Abba is only revealed through the filters of Ima, Zeranpin, and Nok, who cloak his light like garments. For the light of Abba to be revealed without any filter is brilliant. So to this day do we celebrate the revelation of the light of Abba as it shines without filters into Rachel. This is the holiday of Purim. Rachel is collective Israel, the klal of Israel, all of the Jewish people, all of the children of Israel. Now Mordecai is the physical manifestation of this radiance of the Yesod of Abba that is revealed because of its presence in Rachel. Mordecai is of this aspect. This is the source of his soul. And this aspect nourishes the source of the Neshama. And this is the secret of Mordecai. Now the evil Haman desired to destroy this radiance and to kill Mordecai, who embodied it. Haman desired to do this so as to neutralize the building of the feminine face, Rachel. In this way, the Holy Temple would not be rebuilt. God forbid. It must be remembered that we are participating in a real war between the forces of good and evil in the universe. Though Hashem can at any time vanquish the forces of evil, he chooses not to do so. Hashem leaves that up to us, the Jewish people. For by our actions do we gain grace and merit in Hashem's eyes. The forces of evil are quite real and have power to act to harm the righteous. Yet the source of the power of evil in this world is the sins of mankind. When Israel observes the mitzvot, the forces of evil are suppressed. When sin abounds, so does the power of evil. It really is all up to us. Us being the children of Israel, us being the Jewish people. And from this we get this whole idea that the only thing that matters to the world is the decisions that the Jewish people make. But that leads to a great chutzpah and a great error. So try to avoid understanding these teachings in that light. Hashem is patient with us, but we still have the responsibility to shine his light through the observance of the mitzvot. We must fight the forces of evil in this world with our spiritual and physical weapons. If we do not fight, the consequences for the Jewish people, as history documents, will be devastating for us, but even more so for the planet at large. Hashem, in his mercy, desired to act kindly with us more than ever before. There was nothing like this from the days of old. This is referring to Purim, was a unique day like nothing that had come before. Whether it came after, that's another discussion. The radiance of the Malkin of Abba, unfiltered in Rachel, and what was so special, this radiance embodied in Mordechai, is not revealed except during the time that is secretly referred to as Dormita, the trance of sleep. Afterwards, however, when the sephirotic faces are reunited face to face, the Netzach Hod Yesod from Abba and Ima, which are the Mochin of Rachel, are removed, they return to enter into Zerampin, as is known. Thus, this radiance, which is the source of Mordechai, is completely, without doubt, nullified. Hashem wanted to show us kindness and have this radiance shine for us at all times, every year, during these days of Purim. When Zerampin awakens, like on Pesach, divine intervention is clear and supernatural redemption occurs. Whereas when the trance of sleep is upon Zerampin, then collective Israel, Rachel, radiates her light. This too brings a redemption, but this redemption appears to be natural in accordance to the laws of nature. Only when Israel completely repents can Zerampin awaken and bring complete redemption. Until that time, Rachel will struggle in exile, crying out, fasting, and praying like Mordechai and Esther, knowing that even if Zerampin is asleep, Arik is always awake. Arik is the partsuf of Chachmah. Excuse me. Arik is the partsuf of Keter. Though the Jewish people returned to the land and rebuilt the temple, nowhere does it state that the sephirotic faces achieved complete face-to-face union again. The second temple did not have the Ark of the Covenant in it. The Shekhinah never made the second temple her home, like the first temple. Until this day, the sephirotic faces are still an incomplete unity. Excuse me, still not in complete unity. But shortly, the sleeper will awaken, and he will be Mashiach. This is the time of the miracle. During these days, every year, the radiance that is Mordechai is revealed, even after the sephirotic faces have joined together in face-to-face union. The radiance is meant now to last. Now, this radiance was never before revealed, not on any Shabbat or holiday, but only on Purim. Of this our sages have taught, in the future all the holidays will be nullified, with the exception of Purim, as it is written, and these days of Purim shall not pass away. This occurs only at the times of prayer, and then quickly dissipates. Of the unfiltered light of Abba shining directly through Rachel, reference the Magid Masharim of Rabbi Yosef Karo, the Parashat of Vayakel, wherein which it is explained this Midrash. It says, all holidays will in the future be nullified. This is referring to the mitzvot that are observed on them, such as eating matzah and forbidding chametz on Pesach, as well as all the positive mitzvot performed on holidays, will be nullified once the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, is removed from the world. For Israel will then become like the angels, who cannot perform mitzvot, for they have no inclination for good or evil. The holidays themselves will remain, but they will be days of rejoicing and praise. Being that is what Purim is now, that is what it shall remain. Does anyone have any questions? Our class is over. We will again meet tomorrow at 4:30 for our deeper Zohar class. Hopefully we'll be get more information about remembrance and its connection to judgment. Then our 7 o'clock class on Wednesdays is questions and answers. So we will continue with that class. Hopefully you can bring some questions with you. And then at 8:30, we will start the reading of the Megillah. And with the material we have studied these last 2 days, hopefully the reading will be that much more enlightening. Shalom to all. Have a Chag Sameach, a beautiful Purim Sameach. Shalom.
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 Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom.